We start today's program with another kind of loud noise, the 2016 presidential campaign. The approval numbers for both major party nominees, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, are remarkably low, to the point that a lot of people seem to be wondering whether they should vote for president at all, or simply leave it blank and explore the rest of the ballot. In a recent column, Bob Robb of the Arizona Republic says you shouldn't feel obligated to vote for someone you don't believe in, that choosing the lesser of two evils doesn't have to be a choice at all, and Bob Robb is with me to talk about that. Bob, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Good to be with you.
So how did you arrive at this conclusion? Was it an easy one for you? And the reason I ask it that way is because it seems to me that someone who's not necessarily partisan in every election, it should be kind of a tough choice sometimes. At least we'd hope to have two good candidates to choose from.
It wasn't a difficult conclusion for me to reach because it is grounded in my belief that we're a free people. And that means that we can and should feel ethically empowered to do whatever we want with our vote and make whatever political statement we want to make with our vote. I certainly understand those who perceive that they have an ethical obligation to choose between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump because, as a practical matter, one of the two of them is going to be president. But I also believe it's completely ethically defensible and justified to say, no, I'm not going to accept that constraint, and I'm going to do something else with my vote this election.
I'm not going to make this direct comparison, but I'm thinking about as we enter flu season, there's the herd mentality of saying, well, even if you don't believe in a flu shot or for whatever reason, you should get one to sort of protect the rest of society. And there are some people who look at – a lot of people look at Donald Trump that way. Certainly a lot of people look at Hillary Clinton that way as well to say, well, in fact, would you be throwing away the protection of the community, the broader community, by letting one of these people become president without casting a vote?
I think it's different. You arguably do have a ethical obligation not to infect other people. But an obligation is something that you owe to other people. And I don't think anyone owes to anybody else political participation at all, much less limiting your choices to those candidates that have a practical ability to win. Again, I don't suggest that it's unethical to accept that practical bound, and there's a practical consequence of rejecting it, which is you're deferring the choice of president to those who are willing to make that choice. But if you can't decide who's the – as one of the parishioners in my church at a speech that inspired me to write the column put it, if you can't decide who's the least worst candidate – or if the least worst candidate is still so bad in your view that you cannot in good conscience help that person become president of the United States, then I think it's perfectly ethically responsible to not vote in the presidential election. Or if your convictions are more aligned with one of the two third parties, the Libertarian Party or the Green Party, to say the best use of my vote in these circumstances is to increase the attention that those two points of view, or the point of view that's closer to yours, attract by increasing their vote. To me, that's not wasting your vote. That's using your vote, given the totality of the circumstances that you confront and as you see it, to the highest and best purpose.
Well, based on that conclusion then, are you thinking that people are overreacting to these top two candidates, that even if many people find them loathsome, that they're not going to be as bad as possible? Or are you simply making this argument regardless of who the top two would be, if for some reason a certain percentage of people had felt that way, even though a lot of people didn't, but let's say about when Senators Obama and McCain went against each other, a lot of people didn't like either one, but they didn't feel like, oh my gosh, this person is going to be the worst ever.
Certainly, the question is more poignant to more people given the current choices, but I don't think the ethical calculations differ. My conclusion was that people should cast the vote that most comfortably fits their convictions and their conscience and tell everybody else to stick it in their ear. I mean, both campaigns are trying to put the guilts on certain segments of their voting base that is reluctant to come around to them. The Republicans who can't stomach Trump, who think that Clinton's policies would be terrible for the country, are being told that a vote for anyone other than Trump is effectively a vote for Clinton. Likewise, young people are being told who can't stand Trump but are cool towards Clinton are being told that if they skip the presidential race, if they don't show up to vote, or if they vote for a third party, which many young people are considering, they're effectively voting for Trump. I don't think that's true. A vote for Clinton is a vote for Clinton. A vote for Trump is a vote for Trump. A vote for neither of the two isn't a vote for either one of them.
I don't know if we rewrite history as we go by and we forget some of the past years, but to your memory and the things you've thought about, are these the two worst major party nominees in your lifetime as far as a pair at the same time?
In terms of character and background, I would have to say yes. The choice between Richard Nixon and George McGovern was distasteful for different reasons. Nixon was Dixon, and McGovern at the time reflected a ideology that many people would regard as ruinous for the country. He later moderated in later years. He opened a hotel and discovered, you know, the government can be a pain to deal with. But in 1972, he represented kind of the height of the 1960s radical liberal movement.
So based on Trump and Clinton at the top, do you think this will depress turnout?
That is a fascinating question. And one of the reasons why I discount all the polls is that I don't think anyone has a clear picture of what turnout's likely to be. An awful large number of people find these two candidates very distasteful. That would suggest a low turnout. On the other hand, people paying attention to this race is high. It's almost like a train wreck. It's impossible not to watch. That would suggest high turnout. You've got Trump, the one segment that I thought was sure to turn out were the Trump supporters. Mm-hmm. But now you got Trump going around saying the election's rigged. If the election is rigged and Trump is going to lose anyway, what's the point of a Trump supporter going out to vote? I think even though his strategy was to animate his vote and depress her vote, I think he may be depressing his own vote. So I think that turnout is an absolute muddle. I have no idea whether it's going to be low, it's going to be high, whether young people and minorities are going to be motivated to turn out at Obama levels or whether they're going to retreat back to their old position. And then when people who do show up to vote, which races are they going to vote in? It's entirely possible that people will be voting at the top of the ticket and voting differently down ballot, and so to me, it's just a complete muddle out there.
So, Bob, let me read you a quote. So, longtime pollster Mike O'Neill, who we both know, wrote a column in the new issue of Phoenix Magazine. His perspective says he's calling a protest vote one for either Johnson or Stein, basically. Says it's the functional equivalent of casting half a vote for each of the two major candidates or not voting at all. And finally, he says this is not participating in the process, it is abdicating a civic responsibility. So we're getting even past the ethics of it, giving up a civic responsibility.
Well, responsibility is the same thing. Responsibility is something that you owe to somebody else. Mm-hmm. No one else has a claim on your ability to participate in politics. And if you think the highest use of your vote is to increase attention to the Libertarian or the Green Party point of view, that's not wasting your vote. That's not effectively casting a vote for somebody else. Again, that is using your vote in the totality of the circumstances as you perceive them to achieve what you think is the highest good for the use of that vote in this election.
Bob, finally, Trump win or lose, how much has that changed the political winds? Do you think it's something that'll die down? Could it affect the next House races in 2 years?
I think it depends upon whether he wins or loses. I continue to believe that Trump is a one-off, that the Republican Party isn't a nativist, populist, protectionist party. It's a small government conservative party, and I believe that if he loses, the Republican Party is likely to go back to being that. If he wins, then the Republican Party is a nativist, populist, protectionist party. And that's a party that small government conservatives will not feel comfortable on, comfortable within. And I think that then may force political realignment and regrouping. And I may be mistaken. It may be that Trump isn't a one-off and that the Republican Party has become all those things, in which case small government conservatives will face the same decisions if Trump loses.
So finally, Bob, have you cast your vote yet?
I have.
Did you vote for someone for president?
I did.
Okay. Arizona Republic columnist Bob Robb. Bob, thanks.
You bet.